Express our gratitude to the Father of mercies for all his bounty, for all of his goodness, and for all of his blessings that he's blessed us with. The important thing isn't the day of the calendar, but that we give praise to the one who gave us all those blessings. That's what's important. I don't know anybody who thinks December 25th is the day that Jesus came into the world. However, I do know many who love the Lord Jesus, and we want everybody to remember his birth, don't we? I mean, I think it's terrific. We want to teach our children about the babe in a manger, the wise men from the east who came to worship, the angel's announcement to Mary. Isn't that a wonderful thing of the Christmas story when the angels came and made that announcement to Mary? I mean, what a wonderful thing. The angel chorus that told the shepherds of his birth on in December 25th, quite honestly, is as good a day as any for the day, I would think. It's not the day that's important. But some people, that's why we can't do it, because we don't think it's December 25th. It probably wasn't. It was probably in harvest season. But it doesn't really matter. Here's our second objection. Christmas only means Christ Mass. So it must be a Catholic holiday, and good Protestants ought not to observe it. Now, technically, a Baptist church is not a Protestant church. We didn't protest anything. But we are classified as a Protestant church. They put us in that camp, which... that's another foolish argument. Let me just say something. Truth is truth no matter who it comes from. So if you want to classify as a Protestant, that's fine. We use non-Christian names. We use a lot of Indian names. You go down by Pennsylvania, you cross a river, and it's called the Susquehanna River. I've been canoeing it. It's a nice river to canoe in. Or Shawnee, Oklahoma. I suppose those aren't politically correct anymore. I better be quiet. Or Comanche, Texas. Those are towns. We aren't. Anybody think about Indians when you hear those names? When I think here of Susquehanna, Pennsylvania, I think of two things. There's a good dirt track there, Faith, to go watch a race at. I think of that. And I think of, she likes racing some. And I think of canoeing down the Susquehanna River. I don't think of an Indian. Or when somebody says, Comanche, Texas, I think of a town. Sometimes the Seventh-day Adventists say Sunday is named after the sun god or the worship of the sun. Nobody refers to the sun when they say Sunday, do they? Does anybody think of the sun god when you say Sunday? It just seems foolish to make an artificial distinction when none exist in the minds of the people who observe Christmas. Does anybody actually think here of Christ Mass? That's a foolish argument. Are we wrong to call the month January, because it was named for the Roman god Janus? Are we wrong to call it January? Does it come to your mind ever? You may never even have known that it was named for the Roman goddess. You might have just said, it never comes to my mind. I've never heard that. Christmas means Christmas. That's what it means, Christmas. It will do good to keep those things in your mind. There's another objection people have. Christmas was a former pagan holiday, or heathen holiday, if you want to call it that. That's true, you know. December 25th was a pagan holiday. The Encyclopedia Britannica says the date was a Mithraic feast day to celebrate the unconquered sons of Phylicus. Anybody ever heard of that before? Nobody's ever heard of that. Exactly what it is. It seemed that many of the new converts were tempted to keep the pagan feast that was celebrated on December 25th. So, most likely, this is from John R. Rice, by the way, to counterattack this pagan influence, the Christian leaders decided to observe Christmas on that day, which means Christ sent, hoping that this would help the new converts resist the temptation of partaking in the pagan worship and worship the birth of the Messiah. A lot of Christian schools follow the very same principle. They have a banquet on senior prom night, or we have a harvest party on Halloween. It's like, here's the philosophy behind that. No, you can't do that, but yes, you can do this. We're gonna have this. Sometimes we need to answer, we can't answer no all the time to our children. Sometimes you have to answer a no with a yes. So no, you can't do that, but yes, you can do this. Anyway, the celebration of Christmas is definitely not a continuation of a pagan custom. It's a celebration of Jesus coming into the world. It's a unique Christian holiday to counter-react the influence of a pagan holiday. By the way, Halloween used to be All Saints Day, and the devil's crowd took that day as it was. Pagans did something every day, just about. We can't do away with all the days that they used, whether we for worship or ceremonies. Or they had ceremonies of sowing and reaping and things like that. We used the same sun heathens worshipped, and we love the sun rising and setting. But we don't have the heathen ceremonies that they have, and you don't want to get rid of the sun, do you? That's a foolish argument. Evangelistic crusades are used in large stadiums sometimes to preach the word. And back a couple hundred years ago, in the old day, or maybe 100, 150, you know what else was used? Theaters were used to preach the gospel. No one seemed to care what happened there before. There might have been some bad movies there. There probably was. But nobody didn't care because now they're preaching the gospel there. I used to serve the devil with my body. Now I serve the Lord with my body. Why should we not use what we've got now, set a day aside to honor Christ? Nobody should object if we think about the birth of Christ as recognizing it on December the 25th. No one should object if we sing Christmas carols, have a happy celebration with a feast, go over the Bible story of his birth and teach it to our children on Christmas Day. Nobody ought to object to those things. No one should object to the phrase, Merry Christmas. I don't want to get political, but remember when the Obama administration, they didn't want people to say Merry Christmas. They wanted happy holidays. And when Trump, right after Trump was elected, he says, we're going to say Merry Christmas. That's one of the first things he said we were going to do. Don't you say Merry Christmas? My goodness, I don't ever. If somebody says happy holidays to me, I turn and on purpose say, and Merry Christmas to you. I'm not ashamed of the phrase Merry Christmas. Would we not honor God less if we had less scripture reading, or less singing, less of the spirit of giving, less manifestation of a love for others? Doesn't that honor the Lord? It's wonderful. We should use all of our days to honor him. And December 25th is just another one. Here's the fourth objection. It's from Jeremiah. You can read it if you want to. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Objection because the Christmas tree and the decorations are an abomination. Some people really, really believe that. Now, I don't believe it. In fact, if I was smart, I would have got a copy of this. You all know I like Adrian Rogers. He preached a sermon, How the Christmas Tree is a Type of Jesus. I said, man, I ought to get a copy of that message, preach that thing somewhere sometime. But this is a description in Jeremiah of an idol made of wood and covered with silver and gold. Now notice, go ahead and turn there. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. No, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at all the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and work out of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. So some people look at that, and they say, that's a Christmas tree. And then it says, they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name great in night. Now listen, that God tells Israel, don't be afraid of these idols, because they must needs be born. And he said, because they cannot go. Don't be afraid. They can't do you any evil. The Christmas tree has a very distinctive Christian origin, actually. The English missionary Boniface in the 8th century went to Germany, and he went there to preach Christ. Some of you remember that. The Germans were lost. They worshipped idols. And one of the objects of worship was the oak tree. And Boniface told them that God was more like an evergreen, which did not lose its leaves and appeared to be dead in the winter. It always appeared to be alive. Now, as the people were converted to Christ, the evergreen tree became a symbol of the eternal God that didn't die, in whom they had learned to trust. And eventually, the evergreen tree was used for a decoration at the Christmas feast. That's where it actually came from. And because God had shown his love to us through the gift of his son, it became customary for Christians to give to those whom they loved at Christmas time. It was an expression of the Lord's love. The decorations on the tree could not possibly be called heathen, nor have any idolatrous significance. They're just a decoration. Did the heathen worship their gods with popcorn on a string as a sign of idolatry? I noticed a lot of people do that anymore. We used to do that some. Are the electric lights on it for all to enjoy as they brighten a home? Are they sinful? Is it really sinful? It's not sinful. The angel said, I bring glad tidings of great joy. Do any of you really worship your tree? Nobody worships the tree. The kids bow down before it early Christmas morning to grab those gifts out of there. Okay, I'll give you that one. But nobody worships the tree. The joy and worth that brings to a home and the warmth, isn't it just, don't our children love it? Nothing wrong with it. Fifthly, here's another objection they have. There's too much reveling and commercialization during the Christian holidays. Okay, there's some truth in that. Many do not honor the Christ of Christmas because they don't even know the Christ of Christmas. Some drink a lot of alcohol this time of year. That's a sin. That's wicked. We know that. A business who says this is a time to make money, that's the wrong thing with Christmas. It's sad that the world as a whole does leave the Christ out of Christmas. But for those who love the Lord Jesus, and that would be you, it can be a blessed time of fun and feasting and fellowship. Is that wrong? Didn't it say in Ecclesiastes, I told you I'd get to this, didn't it say there's a time to laugh and a time to mourn? There's a time for everything. There's a time, I'm going to use this word, I don't want to sound carnal. There's a time to party, and then there's a time to cry. But there's nothing wrong with these things. It's true people dishonor God at Christmas. I get that. I'm sorry they do that. I hope you'll not grieve God by such a sin as many people commit during Christmas time. But we shouldn't turn Christmas over to the devil and to the wicked people because some misuse the Christmas season. But they misuse Sunday 52 times out of the year. Look at how many people most of you are younger than me. Boy, that's getting hard to say. I can't believe it. But anyway, when I was a kid, you couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday. And then they changed the law till you couldn't buy it until noon. And then at noontime, after noon, then you can buy it. And now you can buy it whenever you want to buy it. It used to be against the law in New York State to hunt deer on Sunday, too, by the way. Southern deer. Yeah, well, that's right. Southern deer. Remember that, Dave? Couldn't hunt on Sunday. Pennsylvania has that same law now. But that's... Yeah, well, I didn't want to. I took Sunday off. but now they've even changed that law. You can hunt 7 days a week. But that used to be illegal to hunt the southern zone. We're in the southern zone. This is the line. This is the south. That's the north. This is the line right here. But we don't have to sin on Sundays. Sunday's the Lord's Day. We don't have to sin December 25th. It's Christmas. Enjoy it. People dishonor God. I get that. But we should not turn Christmas over to Satan and to the wicked people because some people misuse Christmas season just like they do Sunday. Anyway, I hate to say this, but on the Lord's Day, there is maybe more drinking and partying and reveling than any other day of the week. All major football games are played on Sunday. You know how much alcohol they sell at those stadiums with 50, 60, 70,000 people in them? They've got college footballs. They play usually Saturday, Friday night or Saturday. Some of those stadiums seat up to 110,000 people, and every seat is full. And you know how much partying goes on there? I mean, it's a sad thing, but they take the Lord's Day, and they profane it all the time. Aren't we still going to call it the Lord's Day? We're still going to worship on the Lord's Day. We're not going to call it the devil's day. It's the Lord's Day. Some give more honor to baptism than to the blood of Jesus. That's wrong. But do we stop baptizing people that receive Jesus as their Savior because some people got it all messed up? We don't stop. Some with the Lord's return. Some people set dates. Jesus is going to come this day or that day or the other day, and it's all messed up. Do we ignore the imminent return of Jesus because the doctrine has been abused by other people? I don't think so. Some were same with the doctrine of the fullness of the Spirit. The charismatics make too much of the Spirit. You're right. Therefore, we shouldn't make anything of the Spirit. You're wrong. There is such a thing as the fullness of the Spirit. If the world wants to make it a day of revelry, let us make it a day of love and a day to honor God and a day to bless our loved ones and our families and make much of Christmas story and the Christmas carols and the Christmas love and the fellowship. You want to put a smile on somebody's face Saturday afternoon? Go Christmas caroling. The first time we went this year, Mike was mentioned, one of the elderly ladies wanted people to go in. Some of you might have been there. But this elderly lady wanted people to go into her room because she couldn't come out to where people were caroling. Were you there, Jeanette? And so Mike says, man, we started singing, and a big old tear started coming down her face. You know how much, what a blessing they were to those people, to that elderly lady that was in that room?
That lady was lighting some snoo for the carolers. My sister works there. She got her dressed at 4 o'clock, and the lady was like, are they here yet? She was so excited.
Aw. I have a phone. I got a phone number on my desk to call the Grand. Where did we go last year with the school kids? The Terrace. Woodland Terrace, whatever it's called. Well, the Grand called, and I'm thinking, I wonder if they heard that we were caroling, and now they want us to go over there and carol for them also.
We were there already.
Were you? Oh, okay. Well, maybe she called to say thank you. I didn't call her back yet. I forgot. I put the phone number in my pocket, and then I forgot I put it in my pocket. See, you know what? That's a senior moment. That's my story now. I'm sticking to it. We can bless people. We send Christmas cards with a scripture verse, maybe with a holy admonition for people. Is it wrong? Let me ask you, is it wrong to have a day of rejoicing? My goodness, to feast and to give gifts, it's not. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time for it. Jump back to the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 8. Under Nehemiah, the remnant of Israel went back to the land of promise from the captivity in Babylon. When the law was read and explained, all the people wept. But it was not really a sorrowful weep, but it was a time of rejoicing. The wall of Jerusalem had been rebuilt. The gates were hung. The city restored as the city of God, and the worship began. And I want you to listen to the plain commands of the Lord in such a case. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8. Verse 9 and 10. And Nehemiah, which is in that guy there, Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. That's a good thing to do at Christmas. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Look at verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions. That's like sending a gift, right? And to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And when you understand the true meaning that a Savior is coming to the world, you ought to rejoice. We ought to have a merry, happy Christmas, and make Christ supreme on this day, which is to remember and honor his birth. Here's another objection to it. You say, how many you got? I don't know. I didn't count them. Is it proper to give gifts to others on Christ's birthday? Well, should we give gifts? Of course, Christ should be first, right? But Jesus should get first every day, shouldn't he? When we give our tithe, don't we give the first fruits? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Is that what it says? Giving gifts to others is also a proper way to honor the Lord, according to the Bible. Let's see, Esther's right before Nehemiah. Nehemiah, Esther, right after Nehemiah. Esther chapter 9, verse 22 when I get there. Giving gifts to others, I said, is a proper way to honor the Lord, according to the Bible. At the Feast of Purim, it was a feast to the Lord, celebrating the great deliverance that God gave to the Jews in answer to the prayer of Mordecai and Esther. and other devout Jews when wicked Haman planned to, he wanted to exterminate the Jews, remember? Now look what it says here in Nehemiah 9:22. Sir?
Esther.
That's what I said, Esther 9:22. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning unto a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. It's not wrong to give gifts on Christmas. When the Jewish remnant who returned from captivity began to mourn on the holy day as they met to hear the reading of the law, they were instructed, don't mourn. You just read that in Nehemiah 9 or 8. Rejoice. They returned home for feasting and sending gifts. Giving gifts, if it's done in the right spirit, with the right motive, well, what would be the wrong spirit and the wrong motive? Well, I'm going to give so-and-so this, but I really hope they get me that in return. Okay, that's the wrong motive, right? But with the right motive, honors God, and we set special days are set apart to do that. God doesn't need our material things, except as he wants them for his people. Sometimes giving to others pleases the Lord. Look at one other passage, Matthew chapter 25. See, I understand why Jehovah Witnesses don't celebrate Christmas at all. Because they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So why should they? Matthew 25 and verse 35. Jesus said, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we hungered and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Now keep following. When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Let's give, but let's be sure our motives are right. Here's the seventh one. This is the last one. Do Christians tell their kids about Santa Claus? Well, we'd be better off telling them about Jesus than we would about Santa Claus. Didn't you ever tell your kids about Santa Claus? No, never told anybody about Santa Claus. Why would you lie to your children? You're setting a bad precedence. Deceiving little children, you can't tell me that honors the Lord. There's just no way you can tell me that honors the Lord. Why teach a fable when you can teach the true Christmas story about the babe in a manger, the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherds in the field, the angels' announcement of yet this day a Savior is born? Why not just teach him the truth? The story of the virgin-born Savior is sweeter than a lie or a fable invented by somebody, somewhere, sometime, someplace. Besides that, lying is forbidden in the Bible and is certain to have bad results. Tell them of Jesus. Don't worry about old Saint Nick too much. Why not just tell them the truth about Christmas? Here's what it is. For God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. So I hope, listen, I'll see you Sunday, Lord willing. But, and Tuesday night perhaps, if you can make it, our Christmas Eve service. But I really pray you have a good Christmas. Enjoy the day. Celebrate the birth of the Savior. Enjoy your family or your friends or whoever or whatever you're doing. Just remember Jesus and enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with it. If you study the Bible, you'll see different places where they had a time to rejoice. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time of peace and there's a time of war. There's a time to celebrate. There's a time not to celebrate. And this is a time to celebrate. It really is. I don't think anybody here, I don't ever want our church to be so, I hate the word to use legalistic because that's not the right word, but whatever the right word is, to where we can't even celebrate and worship Christmas. Father, I thank you for the birth of Jesus. Where would we be without it? What would we be without if there was no Christmas? We'd be lost. We'd be hellbound sinners, every one of us. So we thank you that we can celebrate you, that we can honor you, that we can worship you. And I pray that everybody will take time to do that. And we can thank you. Lord, I'm going to get gifts on Christmas Day. I thank you for them. I'm going to have the privilege to give gifts on Christmas Day, and I thank you for them. I thank you that we can put a smile on people's faces and we can bring hope and joy into some people's lives who we plan on giving to. And Lord, I just pray that we would all honor you on a special day that we set aside. In Jesus' name, amen. And I really do pray you enjoy your Christmas. Is anybody traveling over Christmas holiday? Not one person is traveling over the Christmas holiday? That's hard to believe.